Texas. These brothers kind of preached all around some of these verses here today. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, there were giants in the earth in those days. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, sort of a mysterious time there. The sons of God came in under the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. That's sort of a period of time there that it's hard to understand all that, isn't it? I want you to get this part. There were giants in the land in those days.
Yeah.
And then one other place where the children of Israel has come up to where God wants them to cross over into the promised land. You remember that group of spies that were sent out, and some of them came back with an evil report.
Yeah.
And this was part of their evil report. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature."
Yeah.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. One of their problems and one of the excuses that they use to cause them to bring up an evil report, we saw the giants there.
Yeah.
Amen. I might just read real quickly in 2 Samuel chapter 22. I can't read all this, but there David's giving David some help here, and there's this giant Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant. He came out against David, and he would have slain David, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And it came to pass after this that there was a battle when the Philistines at Gob slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. How many knows what I'm going to preach on here today?
It's
kind of obvious, isn't it? And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines where Elhanan, the son of Jeroboam. Aren't you glad they changed names like Paul and Steve now and Lloyd and not all these weird names? They slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's mane. And there was yet a battle in Gath. I mean, giants have cropped up here.
Yeah.
And there's four or five that I've mentioned where was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers, and on every foot six toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Well, I want to talk to us today about those giants. What I feel on my heart. Not a new subject. One of the first Bible stories that I can remember as a child learning or falling in love with is where I will refer and read last from today. And that's 1 Samuel chapter number 17, where David, the little shepherd boy, goes out and kills that giant.
Yeah.
I mean, this message is well known. One of the first messages that we preachers learn to preach is about David and the Brother Hutch. You ever preached about it how many hundreds of times? Just once, all right. You preached about David and Goliath and the giant. But you know, although that race of people evidently was killed out, the sons sons of Anak and the Anakims, they finally defeated them. How many knows that the spirit of the giants has lived on? The intimidating forces that come against God's people, that want to fight against the church of the living God that these two brothers have reminded us that we are a part of. The spirit of the giants has lived on. And I don't want to just turn my part of this service today into an advertising agency for the devil and talk about how big and how bad he is and how horrible that he is. But yet we do have to face reality. Amen. That the devil opposes us because we are the church and we are God's people. And every one of those fellows that Brother Snow read to us about there in Hebrews chapter number 11, they had their battles. Church, you and I are going to have our battles. We're going to have to do. We're going to have to engage and encounter these things that come against us. But I do want to tell you, God is greater than the giants that may be in your heart here this morning. Amen. What are giants? It's those big things. It's those defiant things. It's those things that wake you up in the middle of the night and your peace is taken from you. It's those things that when you pray, the devil is there with that doubt and with that unbelief. Loud, dark things, intimidating forces that come against you. Praise God, that blot out faith, that try to put out hope, and that try to close your vision and your dreams and ambition. A young pastor's for the work of God, and he would like to blot them out. It stands like doubt and death and grief and cancer and fear and disease and addiction and divorce and church splits and church trouble and things that, real things that happen in our life. Pain and unanswered prayers or delayed answer to prayers. And sometimes it's sin and sometimes it's depression. It's those things that the devil brings against us. Amen. I want to preach about them. Someone mentioned bitterness. Was it Brother Titus a while ago? Mentioned bitterness. That's a giant. A false doctrine. Brother Titus mentioned false doctrine. I jotted that down in my list of giants. These prospering, compromising churches. You know, the devil can so blow that up to you and I that we feel like in order to gain a crowd, we'll have to change our message. That's one of those giants that we encounter. Amen. You ever know a playground bully? Anybody here ever a playground bully? Brother Cameron, you ever a playground bully? I can't say that to you, no. We've all met them playground bullies. I'll never get in the first grade, and I'm not condoning any first graders here today. Good. One right here. I'm sure not condoning fighting in the first grade, but we had a playground bully by the name of Danny Henderson in our first grade. And I can't remember the issue. It seemed like he was picking on a girl, Tina Rose, I believe she was. I mean, that's been a while ago, first grade. Praise God. But I remember my brother Shoot Crabs when he throwed his weight around, and he was a big old boy. I mean, he seemed like he's big as I am now in the first grade. That's probably, you know, he's probably not really that big, but it just seemed that he's probably bigger than we were. And I stood up to him that day. He's a giant. He's a bluff. He's a big old boy. That's how the devil will do you. Amen. But you know, I stood up to him that day, and unfortunately, I came out on the losing end of the battle that day when he threw me up against the tree. But I couldn't take that. Edward, Danny Henderson and I, we went to school rest of our days in school.
Yeah.
And we never got along very good. And the last time we got into it was in the lunch line because he was a big old brute and decided to cut. And I couldn't hardly take that.
Yeah.
And I was dumb enough to open my mouth.
Yeah.
And so outside we go. And that's why I have this crooked nose. The last thing I remember was Danny Henderson's big boot upside of my head, or front of my head, a big bully. But listen, we've all known a few bullies like that. I've even known a few cool pit bullies.
They just
beat the church up and work the church over. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Gotta hurry on. Get in our lives. But here's the thing, I want you to notice about old Goliath. When he came out there, and when he came out, where is the clock? I can't hardly see back there that clock.
Lunch is when?
12:30. Okay. Then Goliath sort of made the rules that day. You know that?
Yeah.
He said, y'all send me out a man to fight me.
Yeah.
He went down in the valley of Elah and prayed in his stuff and, you know, flexed his muscle. Am I supposed to be using this or does it matter? I like to wave my hands like this. And so he's there. And send me out a man to fight.
You
choose a man.
Yeah.
Now, that's not how they normally done war. Right. That's not how you do a battle with the Philistines.
Wow.
Oh, they normally charge the Philistines as a group and overcome them. But for some strange reason, Goliath has the whole army intimidated because he's made the rules. He set the terms of battle.
Yeah.
And I tell you today, don't let the devil set the rules. Be ruled by the intimidation of the devil. He's not in control of you as a child of God. Send me out of there. Come over here on my territory and fight. You don't have to go over and fight the devil on his territory. You don't have to succumb to his rules. Amen. One of the most successful weapons of Satan is fear. Intimidation. He lies to people about how bad things are. He distorts the truth, and he causes people to feel hopelessness and helplessness. And I don't want to be disrespectful here, but I believe sometimes there are people that are not near as sick as the devil has made them believe they are. And there are people, now stay with me, there are lost loved ones that we all have that are closer to getting saved than the devil tells us that they are. Amen. There are situations our lives that God is in control of them, but the devil will cause us to believe, amen, that he is in power of that thing. They'll never come home. They'll never be the same. That home will never go back together. That boy will never call. That girl will never come back. Amen. That's how the devil works. Amen. How impossible it is. Don't you try to fight the devil under his terms. You cannot. Even old Sanballat, or even Nehemiah, when Sanballat said, come on down here to the plain of Ono. It doesn't need how little things like that sometimes fit in to help us in our preaching. That's a bad place to meet the enemy.
Amen.
On the plain of Ono.
I
go down there. Man, Sanballat said, I'm doing a great work. Can't leave my wall. I can't come down here.
Right.
Oh, listen, I wish I could preach here today. Don't let the giant make the rules. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me move on. Now, if God allows a giant, you know, not all giants are inescapable.
Yeah.
Sometimes God does lead us around giants, but sometimes God allows a giant to come against you. There's a reason. For in this story that we've all shouted about and preached about and done flannel boards about and everything else, my grandson, he's a little old bitty fella. I'm telling you, he loves the story. I've never seen anybody love the story of David and Goliath. Of course, he's my grandson. You know, he's special. I mean, he's spiritual already. He's David and Goliath. And when he takes that sling, and the sling went round and round and round. Oh, he just wears that out. And that's good. We love this story. But when God allows a giant to come into your life, don't panic. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, well, I prayed and now this giant's come against me. How many knows that this prosperity message is not an accurate message? That if you're in God's will, this is their thing. If you're in God's will, you'll never have any trouble. You'll never have any kind of a test. You'll never have any kind of a trial. You'll never have nothing but prosperity. That is not a true doctrine. Amen. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome that. I wish I could explain it and understand it better. But good people do have bad things happen to them sometimes. Illness and sickness does come to good people. I wish I could reconcile and explain all of that away in my mind, but I can't do it. But listen, I do have this much confidence in our great Savior that when God doesn't allow a giant to come against you or your home or your church or your children, God is up to something, and you can't see it at the minute. Amen. But God has a plan bigger than the giant. Amen. This was David's first encounter with Goliath and a human giant. However, God had been grooming him and preparing him for this moment. Hallelujah. You know, I've learned in all the little trials that we've had, and you've had too, church.
Yeah.
I see some here are been in this longer than I have, Brother Hudson, worthy of double honor, man of great respect. And he's fought the battles, every battle that I'll ever fight, probably. Amen. And I appreciate our elder ministers. That when God listened to me, young preacher, young pastor, or you don't even have to be a preacher, life has giants. A working man struggling with a family. When you go through a situation, learn the lesson. Don't get bitter. But let it make you better. It doesn't have to weaken you. But have this confidence. God has allowed me, Brother Joel, to go through this valley. And he's not punishing me. He's just trying to strengthen me. Because in the future, there'll be people that going through things that I've already come through. And God will use me to help them. Amen. And so, David, I'll tell you, that day came when that lion came out against David. And praise God. And David, and then there was a bear that came out against David. I'm telling you, that's a pretty good feat in itself. But to take care of a lion and to take care of a bear. Listen, there were also many other hundreds of days where David learned how to be faithful. There wasn't lions. There wasn't a bear that came. But he learned, I've got to stay with the flock. I've got to stay here in my post of duty. Whatever happens, that we forgot Romans chapter 8, that we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are the called according. only making you, only preparing you for what's going to lie ahead. Amen. And that day, God, not just that day, but earlier, God could see something in David that nobody else in Israel had at that moment. Saul was backslid. There was no good leadership. God could see something in David. He could see bravery and valor. Amen. In David. You remember, getting ahead of myself here, David had already been anointed king in private. In the first part of 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. God could see something in David.
Yeah.
If I was to ask you today, when God goes to look for a giant killer, where would you go?
Yeah.
You know how we do. We were just like Samuel. Well, he's looking for a king, and so he starts looking at them strong brothers of David's.
Yeah.
And how many knows when God needs a giant killer? He doesn't need somebody big.
Right.
He doesn't have to have somebody talented.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't even have to have somebody that we would consider he's qualified.
Uh-huh. Right.
God measures a man totally different.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir.
This same old grandson that I was telling you about. Old people talk about their grandkids. Now he got, I'm not going to, you just, this is the story, all right?
Okay. Bless the Lord.
I don't know. Somebody mentioned, who mentioned Superman a while ago? Somebody mentioned Superman? That brother Tide has mentioned Superman. Make me feel a little better. Well, you know, Superman had that sort of a rival by the name of Hulk. You may have heard old Hulk. Come on, just don't be afraid to say amen. I'm not preaching that we should listen to them characters. But somewhere else, my little grandson got hung up and he called him Hulk. Hulk. You know, he called him Hulk. Yeah, I mean, just a little big boy. Barely could talk. And so they were buying him, you know, green. This is just green, fictitious. Maybe we all just preach against those guys right here, all right? But that's a different message. But anyway, I brought this old guy to church with me from the rehab. Old Jeff was trying to live for the Lord. And I mean, he was about as wide as this pulpit. I believe close to maybe this part. I don't know. He's a pretty good sized guy. And he was not much taller than this pulpit. I mean, he was a hoss. And been a pretty rough guy. I'll never forget the first day I brought him to church with me. And he was, you know, he just a big old shaved head and just been an Irish mob, from what I understood. And my grandson walked up to him and said, "Hutch." That made old Jeff feel good. I mean, it didn't hurt him. That would have hurt me. Somebody called me a green monster, you know. But it didn't bother Jeff. But if we were looking, I need to hurry here. But if we were looking, you know, we would go and pick out somebody like old Hulcher. Yeah. We'd pick up some strong man or somebody with a lot of outward apparent physical strength. Yes. God doesn't look for giant killers in a wrestling ring. God doesn't look for giant killers in a weight room. God looks for giant killers in a Sunday school class, in a primary class. David was just a little boy. God could see something in him, and God started to develop him. Look at these giant killers over here to my right, with the exception of that wild Irish guy. And look at these giant killers here on the front seat. Look at these giant killers here on the second seat.
Yeah.
God looks for a giant killer. It may be Somebody in the booster band.
Yeah.
That's why we have to encourage.
Yes, sir.
Encourage our boys and girls.
Amen.
I need to hurry. I'm afraid to look at my wife. I know I need to hurry. God could see something in David that others could not see.
Yeah.
Please don't ever discourage a young person
that's
trying to do something for God.
Yeah.
They may be the one. I've heard of those stories where, and I know, I've noticed in our church, we got one little boy by the name of Luke. And he's just, you know, just a normal little old boy outside of church. Brother Shoecraft, I see him running and playing with the rest of them. But I've noticed something about old Luke. When people come to be prayed for, and the preachers are praying for them, you know, I've noticed old Luke, all of a sudden, Brother Hudson, he's kind of behind. He's not about to, but all of a sudden he'll reach out and lay his hand. Oh, and I wondered, what is it that causes that little old boy?
Right.
His dad's not a preacher. His dad's not a deacon or faithful people in our church, but and it just, you know, as a pastor, I just notice that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to call him to preach. That's not what I'm trying to do. But God can see faith in that little boy that perhaps I don't have. Amen. God can see that. That's why, even though I'm an old fella now, I still believe in youth camps. I still believe in youth rallies. I still believe in youth meetings. And I believe this generation of the Holiness Church can be the most powerful generation of the church that we've ever had. Amen. Because God is going to use this church in these last days to defeat the giants.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. And let me hurry. When you encounter a giant in your church, we all have, whether it be some demons that were cast out of someone, as these brothers preached, Brother Titus preached, or whether it be someone with an illness that God heals, or some family that's got a lost loved one that gets saved.
Yeah.
Amen. We give God all the glory and the praise for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And David, he didn't fight Goliath. And you might say, well, Brother Steve, it's contradictory. He did go down there in that valley and meet him. Yes, but he did not take the conventional weapons that Saul offered him.
Yeah.
He tried that and he fell. That little boy had more discernment than the king did.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I can't defeat Goliath with this stuff here, but I can defeat him in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And Goliath laughed and said, you come, you know, I come against you. David said, you come against me with sword, spear, and a sword.
Yeah.
I come against you in the name of the Lord, of the host, the God of heaven, whose armies you have defiled.
Yeah.
Amen. And David took the battle to him.
Yeah.
Amen. And defeated him. And here's one of the last things, two other things. David done something in verse 51. When then David ran and stood upon the Philistine.
Yeah.
I have in my pulpit, you got a sword in here, do you? I have a sword in my pulpit that I keep in there because I may preach this at any given moment.
Yeah.
I got a few things in there. David stood upon the Philistine and took his sword, Goliath's sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof. And slew him, cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled, and the men of Israel rallied, rose, David come home that night dragging that dead. I don't know if you've ever wondered, but I think there's something pretty significant right there. When God gives you the victory over a Goliath, you make sure that you never allow him back in your life again.
Yeah.
David just didn't knock him down. David just didn't stun him. He just didn't kill him. There's some debate there whether the rocks what killed him. I've read some debate there. doesn't matter. I don't know about can of worms here. But David wanted to be sure, Brother Rick Morse, that we don't ever have any trouble out of Goliath again.
All right. That's right.
And that's why all this precaution. He goes and he climbs up on that big carcass and he pulls that tilt, that sword out. He didn't cut off a finger.
Yeah.
Or a toe.
No.
But he goes for the head.
Yeah.
And he knows. Because you really, if I decapitate this guy here, I won't ever have to fight him again.
Yeah.
Now let me preach a little sanctification.
All right.
Let me tell you why people still battle the same giants 39 years after they've been saved.
Right.
They have never decapitated that particular giant in their life. Sometimes you've got to take some extreme measures. When something is your besetting giant, when you battle and you struggle with something and God finally gives you the victory over that, you make sure that you fix it in your heart and in your life so that that'll never, ever, ever, ever torment you again. Hey, I believe there's a way that God gives us victory, and by thanks to Him and appreciation to Him, we obey Him, amen, and we make sure it never comes back in our life. Amen. That didn't cost you nothing. That's sanctification. That's just part of it here, all right?
Amen.
I need to kill that thing, man.
Yeah.
And fix it so it'll never come back.
Right. Amen.
David did. Oh, praise God. I think I'm about done. Don't y'all? After David killed the giant, God started promoting or continued to promote.
Amen.
The next chapter, he goes with Saul. Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's sons. And we know the rest of the story, how Saul prolonged what could have been. But God bless David from that day forward. I don't know today, you know, you'll be pausing to pray a little bit. We're going to pray. You know, it's not a shame, it's not an insult on you to have a giant in your life.
Yeah.
I've had them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've had them.
Yeah.
10 years ago, next month, when that doctor came out there and said, your wife has cancer.
Yeah.
Man, that was a shock. We went in there that morning. No, I did anything like that. I'm telling you, I went from up here that day. I started down. I felt myself. As soon as I could get rid of some of her family and some, and I love them, but I didn't even talk to anybody but the Lord.
All
right. I walked down to the end of that hospital, that corridor, and I looked down. We knocked that giant down.
Praise God.
You know, it's different for us, you pray. I stood with other people whose family member has cancer. I've been with men when they're wife.
Sure.
You know, but now it was me.
Yeah.
You will encounter giants in your life.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, the God of heaven, the God of heaven stood with me in that. And maybe today you're here. And I don't know this crowd. Maybe you've got a giant in your life. We have a brother in our church. One of my most faithful families in my church. Their daughter, when she was 18, 19, 20 years old, married a boy in our church. After two kids, she decided to leave. They've not heard from her, spoken to her. She's not contacted them children in 6, 7 years. Brother Bruce battles that giant.
Sure.
Every day of his life.
Yeah.
Good people face giants.
That's right. Yeah.
This morning, I'm just going to call us into this altar. If you are intimidated by some situation in your life as a child, I want you to bring that to the Lord again today. Lost loved one. devil says there's no hope. Maybe a family member that's on drugs. Home that's split up. Health issue. Maybe it's in your church. We've all had those in our church. I've had a situation. Brother Hudson, I didn't know what to do. Just pray. God's never failed us, right? So I want us to come this morning. It's been still morning. It's afternoon. Let's come this afternoon and pray a little bit about those giants. Would you come on, please, those intimidating, up-in-your-face powers of hell?